Access of the House Committee on Health Care to order. And I open a public hearing on HJR 18. We'll begin that hearing if I'd like to invite our administrator to read a letter from AARP into the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. What we have in your packet, you have a letter from AARP of Oregon, dated February 18th, addressed to the Honorable Chair Mitch Greenlich. Dear Chairman Greenlich, AARP, with over 495,000 Oregonian members, is pleased to support House Joint Resolution 18. For some time, AARP has utilized healthcare principles to guide the association in its efforts to reform the healthcare system at the national and state levels, including: all individuals have a right to health care services when they need them. All individuals have a right to high-quality health care. All individuals have a right to access to health care coverage that provides adequate financial protection against health care costs. And financing of health care systems should be equitable, broadly based, and affordable to all individuals. Amending a state's constitution requires careful consideration. In the past, there have been attempts, some successful, to amend Oregon's constitution with formulas and other detailed language better suited for statute and rules. The Oregon constitution should clearly state as guiding principles and broad policy to all. That is what we believe. This is who we are and what we want to be. HJR 18's, quote, access to health care as a fundamental right, end quote, makes that kind of statement. Again, AARP urges your support and passage of HJR, or House Joint Resolution 18. Signed, Rick Bennett, Director of Government Relations, AARP, Oregon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sandy, thank you. We have a panel that seemed appropriate to hear testimony about the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative that's been working to deal with issues very similar to what we discussed in HJR 13. And I would like to call that panel up. Mr. Morris?
Sure, he needs 18, right?
Laura Brennan? Yes, HJR?
18, not 13.
18, yes. Oh, okay. I know that. Thank you. If I said it wrong, I apologize.
You just scared Representative Mao.
I read that one.
And Mary Beth? Can you join us?
I don't see Mary Beth here.
Okay. And we'll go without her, or she'll be joining us on the fly.
She's supposed to be done.
As we're going.
This is Baxter Hay.
Oh, Liz Baxter also, is that
Liz? Is she here?
Not yet. Okay, well, we'll see you some others. I think people aren't used to committees starting on time. Make an exception here today. Chris, please go ahead.
Okay. Chair Greenlich, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative and the Health Reform Consensus Statement the Collaborative has recently developed that's being handed out right now. For the record, my name is Chris DeMars, and I'm a program officer with the Northwest Health Foundation. And on a personal level, I like to mention that I live in House District 46. So, to provide some context, the Northwest Health Foundation was founded in 1997 with a mission to advance, support, and promote the health of the people of Oregon and Southwest Washington. During its early years, the foundation achieved this mission primarily through grant making that responded to community-defined needs. As the foundation approaches its 10-year anniversary, our leaders have recognized that while funding direct services is important and valuable, systemic change is necessary to turn the tide to significant unmet need. Simply put, we understand that foundation grants alone are not likely to result in sustained improvements in community health. The Northwest Health Foundation values the opportunity to serve as a convener, to provide a neutral forum for the community at large to discuss the state of Oregon's healthcare system and to work together to identify solutions. Thus, our involvement in convening the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative makes perfect sense. As another example, we recently sponsored the January 18th Oregon Health Reform Summit, which attracted over 600 people to the Portland Hilton to talk about health reform, and the foundation is developing a report that will highlight some of the suggestions made by summit participants, and we'll be providing that report to you sometime shortly. The Oregon Health Reform Collaborative had its origins in an early 2006 meeting of the Oregon Health Policy Commission, which was sponsored by the Northwest Health Foundation. This meeting provided a forum for discussion between the diverse groups working to improve healthcare access in Oregon and underscored the need for more cooperation and collaboration among them. After this meeting, the Northwest Health Foundation and the Oregon Health Policy Commission agreed to help that meet that need by offering to bring these groups together on a regular basis. Gretchen Morley, the director of the Oregon Health Policy Commission, and my partner in convening the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative, sends her regrets that she cannot be here today. But I'd like to note that the foundation has found this relationship with the Health Policy Commission invaluable, and we look forward to continuing it. Since last February, approximately 15 organizations representing consumers, businesses, providers, labor, and insurers have been participating in the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative to find ways to support each other's efforts and to enter the legislative session with a common vision and message for a vastly improved healthcare system in Oregon. Initially, the collaborative focused on building trust and awareness of each other's different approaches to health reform. The group also developed a joint messaging platform, and the foundation supported, and with foundation support, we developed a web portal, OregonHealthReform.org, to promote public involvement in health reform with information and links to the organizations participating in the collaborative. Setting the broad agendas aside, the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative has outlined a set of broad principles and the necessary first steps for health reform in the Oregon Health Reform Consensus Statement that you have in front of you. This statement has been signed by the following organizations: the Archimedes Movement, Code Blue Now, Healthcare for All Oregon, the Medicaid Advisory Committee, the Metropolitan Alliance for the Common Good, the Northwest Health Foundation, the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems, Oregon Business Council Healthcare Task Force, the Oregon Health Action Campaign, Oregon Health Policy Commission, Oregon Nurses Association, Oregon Primary Care Association, Oregonians for Health Security, Pacific Source Health Plans, and the Working Families Party. We hope this statement will inspire and guide you as you consider options for reforming Oregon's healthcare system. The bottom line in the statement is this: comprehensive reform is necessary and possible. True reform means not merely expanding access to the growing number of uninsured, but addressing the deep systemic problems that are within the current system. We hold a common vision for comprehensive health care reform that provides affordable, accessible, equitable, and efficient health care for all Oregonians. The principles that are laid out in the consensus statement are as follows: ensure equitable access to affordable health care for all Oregonians, deliver health care quality that's high quality, health care that is high quality, coordinated, timely, and comprehensive, ensure the state's health care providers and workforce are educated and compensated at a level that meets the demand for health care, be fairly paid for by individuals, employers, and government, be efficient, cost-effective, and sustainable, be clear, understandable, and accountable, provide information, resources, and incentives to patients and providers to promote health, rewarding the use of prevention and other proven treatments, and optimize the public's health. Further, to address the fundamental problems in our healthcare system, the statement outlines some essential building blocks for this legislative session that we'd like you to consider. These are: expand coverage to all children, provide Oregonians with a primary care home, develop a plan for healthcare reform, and request federal authority for Oregon to design a healthcare system which uses public dollars in ways that are smarter, affordable, and more efficient and sustainable. In conclusion, the Northwest Health Foundation believes that the fact that this diverse group of organizations who comprise the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative have come together to develop a common statement on their vision for an improved healthcare system symbolizes both the need and the potential for a reformed system. We believe there is tremendous opportunity at this time with regard to such reform, and we hope the work of the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative will help bolster your confidence that providing health care for all Oregonians is possible. Thank you again for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Yes, thank you very much. And a public disclosure, I'm on the board of the Northwest Health Foundation and have been since its founding. I guess for one more year, or maybe two.
I think two.
Are there any questions, Chris?
I have a question, Chair, if I may.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
And I mean, I'm so impressed with the work of the collaborative in helping bring together these diverse set of stakeholders and really catalyze this conversation around healthcare. The summit in Portland last month was a really valuable step in the direction of reform. I wonder, in your conversations with stakeholders, whether the subject of in front of us today, this healthcare right and proposed right in the Oregon Constitution has come up, and what, you know, your thoughts or what the thoughts you've gained from conversation with these many players have been about that.
Chair Greenlich, Representative Cannon. That's a good question. I know that the issue of the HOPE initiative did come up. When we got to the point in the collaborative where we were talking about the legislative agenda was kind of after the fact that it didn't make it on the ballot. So I know that in theory, most of, if not all, of the collaborative members would agree with it, but we did not have a specific conversation about it. So.
Are there any other questions?
Sure. Two questions. How long did you work on the HOPE initiative?
The HOPE initiative?
Chair Greenlich.
Specifically collecting signatures.
Chair Greenlich and Representative Maurer, the Reform Collaborative did not specifically work on the HOPE initiative.
Okay. Thank you. And then the follow-up to that is, how do you define healthcare?
Chair Greenlich, Representative Maurer, we spent hours and hours working on this consensus statement and certainly addressed the issue of whether we were talking about health care or health in general. And my recollection, and I'd invite Laura to speak to it if she wants later, is that the purpose of the vision of the group was to work toward a reformed health care system that would improve the health of all Oregonians. So it's really not just stopping at health care and health insurance, but kind of improving the health. In terms of health care, is about more than just insurance. It's addressing all the principles that are laid out in the consensus statement.
May I?
It looks like you have another question.
Absolutely.
I do, because I guess I'm confused, because I... it's in fairness or full disclosure, I own a small health clinic, and I consider us to provide health care.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those lines get really blurred, and we deal with issues of housing in our health care clinic. We deal with issues of food or the lack of access to food. We deal with many issues that are, in simple terms, are not directly related to what commonly is used in words of healthcare or the nomenclature of healthcare. And so I guess where would you draw that line?
Chair Greenlich, Representative Maurer. This consensus statement itself does not specifically talk about kind of the social determinants of health, which is what I'm hearing you talk about, kind of the social environment that promotes health, housing, the economy, et cetera. So I'd say within this document, the line is drawn around providing health care, health insurance for people. And making sure that the system that provides that kind of health insurance is a fair, equitable, sustainable system. So within the consensus statement, there is kind of a line drawn. We do not talk about the broad social determinants of health. If you're asking me personally, and from the Northwest Health Foundation perspective, we most certainly believe that health, the optimization of health, is achieved through those kind of broad social determinants you're talking about. So I can tell you're not 100% satisfied with my answer. It was more a limited scope within the consensus statement than kind of optimizing health, which is where you're coming from, I believe.
I can also tell you, in the early days of the foundation, we were trying to define the mission statement of the foundation. Trying to deal with that question led us to simply include health and healthcare in the mission statement, mm-hmm. rather than trying to figure out which one we were talking about, because I think it's clear you are talking about both.
Right, and I apologize. I did not mean to just put you on the spot, but I think clearly...
Paid all those big bucks.
Yeah.
Clearly, when you're talking about constitutional amendments that words, well, in all everything we do, words matter, and definitions of those words matter, and where the limits are. And I guess I have grave concern about how you define it.
Mm-hmm.
And the unimplied or the unintended consequences, which we use a lot around here, but those you start to draw around the edges, and it's not a very black and white issue.
Well, just if I may, Chair Greenlee and Representative Maurer, for the record, this the statement itself is not specifically tied to any legislation. Or the Hope Amendment or anything like that. This is just a okay. So that's not what I was kind of talking to. I'm talking about the vision for the reformed healthcare system that this group has been working on, which I would say is tangentially related to what you have in front of you, but not the same. So
okay, that's fine.
Thank you, Chair Greenlee. For the record, I really appreciate where Representative Maurer is going with the definition. On the way to this meeting, I was approached about one time, not small, but it's an emotional part of what is healthcare and the question was brought to me, if we bring an amendment with a certain section of health care, can we, you know, would you be willing to put it into this bill? And my response was no, because, and I didn't have a chance to share this, and that's why I'm putting it on the record, this bill is, you know, it is broad right now, and it's going to take some time to work through it and to understand what those definitions mean. And, you know, we could sit here and have another dialogue about health and health care, and yet I don't think that's the purpose of this bill, is to help keep Oregonians healthy, whatever that is. And so
we'll deal with that one on Tuesday in terms
okay.
of the school health policy. It's only an answer to your other questions. I look at this list. Six of the 15 signatories of the bill either endorsed or worked on the HOPE initiative as an initiative. And nine. Okay, thank you very much. Laura? We have all four panelists here now, I think. That's great.
Representative Greenlee, members of the committee, my name is Laura Brennan. I work with Pacific Source Health Plans. Pacific Source was involved with the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative for a variety of reasons. I believe that one of the reasons is that we as an organization, pardon me, believe that it's time to challenge assumptions, that it's time to acknowledge that there is indeed a healthcare crisis, and it's time to actually work together. It was a great honor and very educational for me to work with a diverse group and the diverse participants of the Oregon Health Collaborative, Health Reform Collaborative. Some might say, and some did say, that we were rather strange bedfellows. In my work in trying to improve access to needed health services over the last dozen years here in Oregon, never have I seen nor have I heard or experienced such commitment and momentum from entities and individuals who normally really, to be honest, don't hang out very often, let alone do they work together collaboratively toward comprehensive health reform. So as the community development and policy director of Pacific Source Health Plans, as well as the executive director of our charitable foundation, it was, again, just a privilege and honor. Part of my role with the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative, and I do thank the Oregon Health Policy Commission and the Northwest Health Foundation for their leadership and vision in convening us. Part of why I was there, I believe, and I think that my colleagues would agree, is that in my role with Pacific Source Health Plans, I have the honor to represent and work with nearly 20 of our 36 counties throughout the state that are creating and implementing local solutions to ensure access to timely, quality, and affordable health services. Given their to date, there's no comprehensive federal or state policy that is ensuring access to these needed health services. Communities and the local efforts are needed and mobilizing and bubbling up throughout our state. These efforts are currently underway or these initiatives, and they're not part of any formal association, but what they are and what they do have in common is they're about innovation, and they're about reorganizing the way that services are delivered, and they're about public-private partnerships and collaboration. They've shown a great deal of promise and show even greater promise in improving access to health, access to health care, as well as the health of their community. They really vary, these efforts, and again, part of at this table with the different entities, the Oregon Business Council, Oregonians for Health Security, Archimedes, et cetera, I keep on trying to remind and do remind folks of what's going on at the local level and whatever kind of health care reform that occurs. I think it's my duty, and I'm hoping that others see it that it's part of their duty to not forget what's going on at the local level, the innovation that is going on at the local level. And so whatever we come up with, whatever solutions, whatever strategies, it's really, really important to look at the innovation and to try to support and hopefully not manage the innovation at the local level. Some of these local collaboratives focus on chronic disease management. Some of them focus on medical homes. Some of them focus on affordable access to affordable prescription drugs. They all focus on different things, and they're all in different stages of development, but they're all committed to providing better health for more people at less cost. So that is continually my voice around the table, and I, again, learn from my colleagues who are doing more perhaps comprehensive and global reform efforts, but I encourage this committee and all the efforts of all the health reform efforts in this building and beyond to not forget about the local innovation in the communities and the good work that they're trying to do and actually doing. Health reform, in my opinion, is more than kids. Health reform is more than enrolling more people into the Oregon Health Plan. It's beyond insurance. It's beyond access. It's actually about creating healthy people and healthy communities. With that, I thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, Representative
Richards. Laura, you said that you're working in 20 counties, and that we need to be sure not to, or be sure to support and not manage local initiatives or innovations. And yet, in all the discussions that I've been involved in the last year, there's been no discussion about what is going on the local level as far as local initiatives or local innovations. And so for you to say, hope we don't be forgotten, you've already been forgotten. And so I'm not sure how to get that as part of the discussion. Even the Healthy Kids Plan, it's always about providing insurance for 117,000 uninsured children. Well, even the governor in his press conference a few minutes ago said that, Senator Smith who said that we have over 100,000 children who have no access to doctors, to dental, all this, which is not true. I mean, because of federally qualified health centers and other very successful and dedicated community-based delivery of services, there's a lot of coverage that goes to those that may not be insured. How do we go about knowing what is going on in the 20 counties you're working with, let alone not forgetting about it?
Well, thank you, Chair Greenlick and Representative Richardson, for your question and comment. And that's music to my ears, and it's also very unfortunate, sort of bittersweet, if you will. My observation in working with the communities, and it's actually nearly 20, it's 19 of the counties that I work with, some of the greatest, smartest, and yet most humble people, and they're really about taking care of their neighbors, taking care of their friends, taking care of the people in their community, and often probably aren't as engaged in advocacy and policy as they could, should, or we might like. But that's not to say that we're not creating a voice. Actually, the Northwest Health Foundation, in partnership with Pacific Source Health Plans, the National Policy Consensus Center, the Oregon Health Policy Commission, Public Health Division, and Communities Joined in Action, a national organization that I sit on the board of, we're convening, and we just had our first meeting and about to have our second, quarterly meetings, bringing together these local champions, if you will, who are really at the ground floor, and helping them learn with and from one another, learn about best practices on how to be more efficient, effective, and build sustainable delivery systems. And the third prong, and a very important prong, is how to create a common policy voice, a common, some might say, advocacy voice. voice to educate policymakers on how we all can and you all can be supportive of their efforts. This is, again, we just met December 12, sometime in December for our first meeting, and we're about to have our second meeting. That doesn't necessarily help so much today. I can provide, and I do have a list of the community collaboratives that I work most closely with, and I could give you more information on that as per your request. I'd be happy to do so.
Well, thank you. Mr. Chair, I just think that as an access committee, we need to make sure that we do not focus so much on what the state can do that we end up undercutting the efforts of the local communities, because ultimately they're the ones that deliver the services. And in times of great need or pandemic need, they will be absolutely vital that we have community-based delivery networks in place that can be flexible and adjust to changes and emergencies.
I couldn't agree more. And one of the amendments that went into 2201 after last year, or is going into 2201 in the Ways and Means Committee, I don't remember which, is to make sure that the federally qualified health plans and the other local safety net clinics are paid for under whatever happens in Healthy Kids when Healthy Kids passes, because that's, I think we all agree, that's a very important piece. That's where the action is in many ways.
President Cannon?
Sir?
Representative?
Yes. Okay. You have talked about ask about health care and definition of health care. And why are you laughing, Representative
Richardson? I'm laughing at Representative Richardson.
Okay.
Inside joke.
For the record.
Okay. It is about definitions, and I think ultimately the goal is health. And I found a document, and I can't verify whether the United States signed this document or not, but it's the American Declaration of Rights and Duties of Man that was signed in 1948 after World War II, kind of in that United Nations expansion after the World War II era.
Collaboration.
There's collaboration, yes. In there, they actually... in fact, the United States had signed various pieces of this declaration, but I'm not sure they had signed on to this particular one. And it talks about health. And a basic statement is every person has the right to the preservation of his health through sanitary and social measures relating to food, clothing, housing, and medical care to the extent permitted by public and community resources. And so I find this to be limiting. If we're going to provide health care, why don't we provide housing and food? Because we provide sanitary. I mean, we have water systems, which is part of the government. We have garbage collection systems, which are standard. And so we've picked out one piece of it. Why don't we just go for the whole ball of wax? And also add a comment that we know there are limits, that this is not, we have to put a box around it somehow.
We'll be happy to hear your bills on
those. You're happy to hear my bills?
We'll be happy to hear your bills.
You're seeking to amend HGR 18.
Yes, we'll talk about amendments, but later. I just wonder if you have comments about this larger issue between health and health care and what they are. And all right, go ahead. You don't have to answer the question. It's just if you want to say something.
Chair Greenleg, Representative Mara. I mean, I think this is a great and important dialogue and debate, perhaps some might say. I mean, health care is, not what we're... I feel like I can't really speak for the entire collaborative, if you will. But I know that I'm... A lot of people within the collaborative, although we are strange bedfellows, a lot of the people I do have great relationships with, and we have these kinds of talks on and offline, probably more than on. As I say very often, insurance does not equate access to health care services, and access to health care services doesn't equate to healthy people in healthy communities. And really, you know, my passion, what I aspire to and why I do the work that I do is trying to help people be able to have health and have healthy families and healthy communities. So, I mean, I can't really answer. I think that's a great dialogue, and I'd love to hear what other people have to say. But I hear your point, and I'm happy to talk more about that with you at another point.
Thanks.
I'd say the most important decision we make about health in our whole life is the selection of our parents.
Gosh.
Mary Beth.
I didn't get to choose my parents.
How do you know?
Very good question, Representative Richardson. Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mary Beth Healy. I'm the Executive Director of Oregonians for Health Security. And I am here today to talk about our involvement in the health care reform collaborative. And I have to say it's been a very illuminating, educational, and satisfying process, I think, for everyone who's been around that table. And I think that, and Chris, I do apologize for being late and not hearing your full presentation. But I do believe one of the reasons why the collaborative was formed to begin with was there was just this sense that, you know, the Northwest, the Health Policy Commission was working on work that they were working on. And there were these other efforts, and at that juncture in February of 2006, we were entering into Oregon's famous ballot measure season. And there were no less than seven ballot measures, notably Initiative Petition 40, that were being proposed to Oregon voters to address the health care crisis. So ranging from declaring health care as a constitutional fundamental human right to an initiative for expanding the prescription drug pool, ensuring that insurance rate review board process. There were a whole number of issues out there, and what we were doing in that was going around the state and having forums to get Oregonians buy-in on what they liked, or the tobacco tax, you know, there were just a number of them, to get their feedback on what these systems would do. And so the Health Policy Commission had this meeting in February, and I think it really dawned on people, holy mackerel, not only this issue around ballot measures, but there are a number of groups and organizations out there that are doing really good work around health care reform, but we're not necessarily talking to one another. Now, our organization is a coalitional organization, and by no stretch of the imagination is every group that's doing health care reform involved in our coalition. And that was what was really helpful to me, because it brought together even more groups and individuals who were working on health care in various and sundry ways. And so coming up with the consensus statement was you all would really appreciate it as legislators and policymakers. The wordsmithing was fun, but it was very helpful and educational, because what came out of that was our commitment that we all agree the system is not working. It is not working for any of us. Costs are too high. Access, as you very well articulated, is an issue, and it's not just about a card, right? And the clinics and the safety net clinics around our state and other health care facilities around our state are key to whatever reform comes out of this body, because we should not reinvent the total wheel and throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's look at what is working in local communities and build upon those things, but think about the structure and how we best create the system that provides for all Oregonians quality, affordable, and secure health care, as well as getting health to our citizens. And it's just been a fabulous process for us. We do all wear very different hats, and it's funny, we try to leave them at the door when we come to the Northwest Health Foundation table. And I think we've been very successful in doing that. And we can agree to disagree in a very friendly way, because the end goal is the same. And that is really, I think, what I would like to impart, that, you know, we're hearing a lot this session, and I am thrilled that there are 7 healthcare committees, and that so much, okay, many of you may not be as thrilled as I. Okay, none of us are thrilled. But it says a lot, right? It says an absolute lot about this legislature, and I also think it sets an expectation, for me anyway, of what this legislature can do. And I want you all to know that we are more together than we are apart. And our window of opportunity is open right now, but in this world, that window could close at any moment, and we have a unique opportunity to really create something powerful and positive for all Oregonians. And I look forward to working even more with all of you in this work, because it is an incredibly exciting time, I think, in healthcare.
Actually, I count 8 if you count the Ways and Means Subcommittee.
There you go. Thank you very much. And then we could count Ways and Means broadly, since there's the money.
Mary Beth, thank you. Any questions? Liz, you want to join us? Make room at the table?
Here, I'll get up. How's that?
Can I pull the chairs?
No, they're stuck.
I apologize for being late today. Mary Beth and I were chasing each other down the freeway.
Within the legal speed limit, just so people can come.
Right.
good afternoon. I actually wrote up my comments because, as many of these folks will know, if I don't, I can talk for about 25 minutes, and I'd like to be brief for you. So Representative Greenlich, Vice Chair Richardson, and Vice Chair Cannon, and other members of the committee, thank you so much. For the record, my name is Liz Baxter, and I am the Project Director for the Archimedes Movement. And it is really exciting to have testimony today about the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative. It has really grown into something that reflects Oregon's strengths and provides an example of how organizations and communities can actually come together, find common ground, and work on something in common. Close to 200 people attended the February Oregon Health Policy Commission meeting last year, partly to hear what was happening with those 2006 ballot initiatives, but also to hear about how we were all going to be moving towards this eventual goal of health care for all, how we would outline that. And there certainly were some underlying fears, and the one that was expressed to me the most was just this notion that we might have too many ideas that get presented, and that if there were too many things out there, we would all fail. And so the idea was really, how could we do something about that and really build on the strength that these ideas showed that Oregon was actually ready to take some action. We wanted to try and figure out how we could respond to the media and the public when they tried to sort out the differences between proposals, thinking that somehow they needed to find the one good idea that they could stand behind. And so for me, back in February, sitting around that table, there were several things that became clear. First was that the people in the organizations behind all of these proposals were all people who knew each other. Some of us had actually worked together in the same organizations. We had worked on projects together. But we all had one common objective, and that was really the piece that was the organizing force for us. So the question really became, how could we combine our strengths, and especially in moving towards this 2007 legislative session? So the Northwest Health Foundation, who had sponsored that coming together in February, offered to act as the convener, to bring these groups together and to add others who hadn't presented that day, and to provide a forum and a venue for us to work in collaboration. My entire career has really been built around collaboration and community engagement. So this collaborative effort was a very easy fit for the Archimedes Movement. It's also one of our goals. The notion that Oregonians find a way to feel that they, and we're talking about we, that somehow we have something to build that includes all of us, and we all have a stake in this. And the only way to do that is through partnership, sharing resources, and finding goals that we can join together to work towards. The 2007 legislative session actually gave us a point on a calendar to point towards, a point in time by which we wanted to have our proverbial ducks in a row. We wanted to be able to respond to questions and queries about competing legislation, about how there were too many ideas out there, and how things could be compared if they were put in a matrix. We wanted to come up with a way to respond to that, talking about collaboration, how things fit together, how they complement each other, what these proposals all have in common, and how Oregon can be the place where dialogue begins about true health reform. And at the same time, we wanted the legislature to understand that we think that it's also time to talk about things that are needed now, such as the Healthy Kids Plan, efforts to create more efficient delivery system models, ways to increase quality, improve patient safety, and a host of other things that I know are before you and other committees. We agreed that the need to take care of Oregonians today is not in conflict with creating a framework to work towards comprehensive health reform. We also agreed to bring that message down here to Salem. So you, as members of this committee, will hear from people from the Archimedes movement that we encourage the passage of the Healthy Kids Plan, that we support other initiatives related to health. What you will also hear is that other organizations are going to come to Salem, and they're going to support major health reform efforts. That, in essence, is how you build collaboration, that we are working together, that we're on a path towards reform, and we want to show the rest of the country that Oregon has leadership that's bold and courageous and ready to take steps to take care of immediate needs and to plan for the future. What we've done is also very uniquely Oregon. I've talked to people in our neighboring states about what we've done with the Oregon Health Reform Collaborative, and they envy us. Now, they also sometimes chuckle at the fact that people in Oregon like to talk about things a lot. But at the end of the day, what they envy is our ability to bring together diverse groups of stakeholders at the same table and to then add the voice of consumers to that table along with those diverse stakeholders. So the Archimedes Movement sees this collaborative as an extension of our efforts to hear from all Oregonians as we move through the next couple of years in trying to figure out what our healthcare system will look like in the future. We also thank the Health Policy Commission and the Northwest Health Foundation for committing staff and resources to this effort. And we certainly plan to continue to be a part of that and to support the activities of the Reform Collaborative. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you, Chair Greenlich. I have a question which I guess I would address to all of you or any of you. And so what I take away from the collaborative is the following statement, and then I'm going to try to explain the statement, and I want you to tell me whether my understanding, my takeaway from this statement is sort of where you hope that we'll be as policymakers. You write that true reform means not merely expanding access to the growing number of uninsured, but addressing the deep systemic problems within the current system. And I think this is really important. And my understanding, what that means to me is that our job, our task as lawmakers, our first and foremost task, I'll put it that way, related to healthcare, is not to figure out, for instance, where someone's more likely, twice as likely to end up in the hospital, you know, in one county versus another, or where a child's more likely to get an immunization in one part of the state or another, or where someone's more likely to be uninsured in one region versus another. It's not just to look at those problems and try to come up with solutions to them, but to get at what's creating the system in which there are those kinds of inequities, in which not everyone has access to care, in which utilization rates vary so dramatically, in which the cost is so not only disparate but also growing. And to me, what your work points us to is really the system and the structure that's underlying these problems that manifest themselves throughout it. And I think it's a very hard thing, if this understanding is correct of what you're telling us, it's a very hard thing for lawmakers to do, because we're hearing about each of these particular problems, and as a lawmaker, your inclination is to try to come up with a solution to these particular problems, because they're very real and they affect people, and it's easier to take care of one problem, you know, to sort of put out fires than it is to go after the underlying cause. Am I right in my takeaway from the collaborative and your the respective organizations that you represent?
Wow.
She's
the answer, yeah.
This is a Rhodes Scholar.
Who's struggling to figure it all out.
No, I think you got it.
Chair Greenlick, Representative Cannon, I believe so. And I think that just really does point to the benefit of this collaborative process, and that is that, you know, we've spent, you know, our existence as Oregonians for Health Security working on, you know, the cost drivers within healthcare. So we don't necessarily focus on the delivery system or the local collaboratives or the broader reform stuff. We've been focusing on those cost drivers, figuring that if we can address cost drivers, you know, that will loosen up some funding in this healthcare system and then be able to provide more access. But I would think that your assessment of the takeaway is right, because it, yes, we can continue to put out fires, and, you know, we've got the fire of healthy kids right now, right? No pun intended there, but that is one step. And that was the other thing, as we were thinking about what each organization had focused on, and it was like, well, you know, we don't want to say we don't support healthy children, because we do, but it is a step to the bigger systematic reforms and the bigger solution that's going to help all of us.
If I might add to that, Chair Greenlick and Representative Cannon, if you look at the handout that Chris provided, I believe it's the cover letter, it's the first page of The Time Is Now for Health Reform in Oregon. We spent, you know, talking about our principles and getting on board with our principles a fair amount of time, and sometimes I'm not all that into process, but it was really rich, and, you know, I think it was articulated that it was important to get on the same page. One of the things that we came up with is that we really need to think about building blocks and address sort of the crisis today while looking for more comprehensive reform efforts that for tomorrow and the next day, so to speak. So the last paragraph, we believe comprehensive reform is necessary, desirable, and possible. And then we talk about the concrete steps for meaningful short-term reform. Absolutely, healthcare for all kids is something that we valued, and we agreed to that around the table. We also agreed to the importance of piloting. We're not sure if we necessarily know how to deliver health services in the most effective and efficient or in a sustainable way, but we discussed that there's really innovative things going on and the importance of piloting innovation and then documenting and evaluating that to see if we're really getting a return on investment. And we also talked about, you know, the outlining of a healthcare reform. We've referred to it as the roadmap, and then ultimately the comprehensive health reform at a national level. So that's, I think, a really important paragraph to point out, and I think it addresses your question a little bit. It's unwieldy, it's overwhelming, and I think that it has to be at least a two-pronged approach. Let's make today and tomorrow much, much better, effective, and efficient. Pilot some things, document it, see if it's really working while we're working for bolder and more comprehensive efforts down the road.
I'd also point out the sentence in the paragraph above, the bolder sentence. It says, we hold a common vision for comprehensive health care reform that provides affordable, accessible, equitable, and efficient health care for all Oregonians.
Absolutely.
I was taken with Governor Kitzhaber's statement about healthy children. That really was an interesting remark to your question, Representative Cannon, where he said he sees the healthcare system as a sinking ship in the middle of the ocean. But he sees the fact that we have children out in the water now, and it's a perfectly legitimate first step to get lifeboats under those children while we try to figure out how to save the sinking ship. I thought that was really an interesting metaphor.
Chair Greenlick and Representative Cannon, the piece that I would add is, I think that how you laid out the question is exactly correct. I think that the challenge for you as legislators is that things do come to you as proposals piecemeal. And that makes it very challenging to try and figure out what is the big picture. So you will have proposals that are about corners of the system and fixing underlying components of the system. And what we're hoping to do with this collaborative is to actually be able to get groups together that could come back to you and say, here's what we actually believe in common. There are things that, you know, you just cannot ignore while we're trying to figure out how to reform a healthcare system. But knowing that those aren't in conflict, I mean, that is the challenge of the role that you play, is trying to figure out how do those pieces all fit together. And, you know, I, for one, incredibly appreciate the work that you're doing. So thank you.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an issue that I've been wanting to ask Governor Kitzhaber, and that has to do with his statement in his talk that there's enough money in the system, and it's just about reallocating the money. And so Healthy Kids, under its current proposal, is about putting more money into it. And that, to me, those comments or those statements or plans don't really marry up. I can understand the sinking ship, the lifeboat metaphor, analogy, whatever you want to call it. And I think that's fine. What is it?
I'm not sure which it is, or a metaphor or analogy.
It's a metaphor.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we have a teacher with us.
Yes.
I said metaphor, right?
But I'm wondering
correct.
How, because in my opinion, Healthy Kids plan is not about health care reform at all. All it is a lifeboat. It is just a lifeboat just by years more money, let's attempt to fix the problem. And so how would you represent the governor in addressing that question?
Mary Beth is pushing me that she wants to go first.
Go ahead. And you can speak for yourselves.
I was going to say, Chair Greenlick and Representative Maurer, when I channel John Kitzhaber, it's not very pretty. I have two thoughts. And one really goes back to the work that we've done through this collaborative process. And it is, if we have the ability to use available funds, whether those are the cigarette tax revenues or other revenues, to help kids today, I'm all for it. You know, I think that your task is to figure out what's the way that we can actually afford to do that. And that's a today and now, working within today's system and today's structural components. When we talk about the fact that there is money in this system that could be used more effectively and more efficiently, we're talking about if we can put our hands around that entire pot of public dollars, we believe that we have enough money to provide that coverage for everyone. We don't have that today. And so the question before you about covering kids is really a here and now question. What is doable today? We would anticipate that in the future that kids will become a part of the sustainable funding that's available for everyone.
Very good.
Chair Greenlick, thank you, Representative Maurer. The only other thing that I would add is I think that we all agree. Covering all kids is not health care reform, but it is something that has to be done. Let's take care of those kids first while we figure it out, because it's not reform. We agree. But that doesn't mean we should let them drown in trying to stay with the metaphor there.
Thank you.
I could just say, I'm sorry. Because there are, 500,000 adults out there who are really struggling, who have healthcare needs and need your help in being able to access affordable healthcare as well.
Thank you guys very much for coming down. I appreciate you chasing each other on the freeway. Chris obviously started earlier. Thank you.
Representative Greenlick, Chair Greenlick, as long as all these ladies know that none of us walk on water.
It's not hard walking on water if you can find the rocks to step on. That's
well, the ocean's a little deep.
No,
right,
the ocean's
now.
Too deep for that plan. We have one more witness. Thank you very much.
Okay,
Emily Katz, will you please join us? We lost one witness on the way. Is that right, Emily?
I have her written down.
Okay, good.
Did you all by yourself?
No, that's okay. In case the tough questions get asked, I might.
Yeah.
And my comments
call
today will
back,
be brief.
Yeah.
Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, I'm Emily Katz. I'm the public policy manager for CARE Oregon. CARE Oregon is a Medicaid managed care organization specializing in care for low-income Oregonians under the Oregon Health Plan, and we are also a Medicare special needs plan. And just for the record, Care Oregon was a part of the broad coalition of supporters that were trying to get the Hope for Oregon Families onto the ballot. On behalf of our 100,000 Oregon Health Plan members we serve throughout the state, we want to thank you for the opportunity to testify in front of you today. Care Oregon supports HJR 18 and the concept of health care as a basic human right. If passed, this resolution directs the legislature to adopt a plan that incrementally expands health care coverage. It's our hope that this legislative body takes up expanding health care coverage to all residents of Oregon, regardless of a resolution. We also support the concept of covering all children and covering kids first, but believe that all uninsured Oregonians need coverage and access to care. The alternative is a lack of basic care and a continuation of the cost shift problems that are rampant in the system today. Declaring health care as a universal right is a foundation to that expanded coverage. Thank you for your attention. And before I end, I just want to submit for the record the written testimony of Cindy Becker, who unfortunately could not be here today. Cindy is the executive director of COHO, the Coalition for a Healthy Oregon, which is 11 of the Medicaid managed care plans, and Care Oregon is a part of that. So I will pass that to Aaron, but for just for the sake of time, I will not read that into the record unless you'd prefer that I do. But I'd be happy to answer any questions, and that's all I have.
Please no. Yes. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to testify? We'll close the work session on
public hearing.
I'm sorry. We'll close the public hearing on HJR 18 and open a work session on HJR 18. I know it's 18 because in my tradition, 18 is a magical number. The 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Chai, life, and therefore 18 is a magic number. And as a researcher, I always try to get the total cost on any of the grants I apply to either add up to or be divisible by 18. It drove my people crazy, but I did very well. Okay. I did mention to the committee at the last session that we wanted to put HJR 18 in the possible position of being moved to the May 2007 ballot. I've talked to leadership and I've asked them not to do that, that rather we'll leave it in consideration for as it is now for the next statewide general election, which would be November of 2008. I would accept a motion to move HJR 18 to the full committee where we won't be in a big rush. We'll have a chance to look at it and to work it as we go on now, but I think it would be best moved there. So I will accept that motion.
Mr. Chair, I move HJR 18 to the full healthcare committee.
Thank you. We have a motion to with a DUPAS recommendation?
Yes, with a DUPAS recommendation.
Be adopted by the committee.
Okay. We need to get our terminology, our scripts here, right? Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a courtesy vote to move it to full committee.
Thank you. We'll manage it there as we get into discussion.
Mr. Chair, is it your intention that there will be discussion of this in the full committee with the opportunity to introduce amendments or
there will be discussion. There will be a possibility of introducing amendments. In fact, I think I'll have an amendment or so, maybe an introduce, and we'll have full discussions on the committee again. I mean, on HJR 18 in the committee. We may or may not have public testimony again, but we will have invited testimony if that's appropriate, or we'll have public testimony again if that's desired. And that'll give Representative Maher a chance to get at it in the full committee. Ms. Boyd. The clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Cox.
Aye.
Representative Minnis.
Excused.
Vice Chair Cannon.
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson.
Aye.
Chair Greenlee.
Aye. And I'll carry it to the committee. HJR 18. Is adopted, passes. What's the?
It's adopted and moved to the.
Is adopted and moved to the full committee for further consideration. Thank you very much. Is there any other business to be brought before the subcommittee? What's on our agenda? Madam Administrator, for the subcommittee?
For
this subcommittee? There is going to be a hearing. There is going to be a full committee tomorrow at 3.
No, Friday.
Tomorrow. Whatever day. There will be a full committee on Friday. It will be, I'm hoping, relatively a brief committee. We'll be working one bill, and we'll be considering several LCs for adoption as a as committee bills. We will have most of them to you when?
Tomorrow. The ones that I have in our possession tomorrow, then there might be some that come in Friday morning. But.
And if any of you have LCs that you'd like to be submitted as a committee bill, or if you, any of your friends have LCs that they'd like to see adopted as a committee bill, please let Sandy know and we'll get them on the agenda for Friday. Friday's going to be the last time we'll have an opportunity to do that.
Even though, and just as a footnote, even though the deadline is Monday, only our full committee can do it, so Friday would be our last. And Mr. Chair, you just
next
asked
Monday.
What was on our agenda for next Monday. We have a public hearing on House Bill 2660, which is repealing the current provisions on the Oregon Health Plan for coverage of dental, vision, hospital, and drug services for the 2007 remaining part of the 0507 biennium. And then we have a work session scheduled for, to move to the full, the Oregon Health and Science University bill that we had a public hearing on the first part of this week. We'll have a work session on that on Monday.
Great. That is going to open up other discussions we're going to have about the Oregon Health Plan, and it's a part of a larger discussion that if there is more money for the Oregon Health Plan, do we spend the money on more people or do we spend the money on more services for the existing population, for standard, I think we're talking about here, and not always because. So with that, I close the Subcommittee on Health Care Access of the House Committee on Health Care.
Good questions, as always.
See you Friday, if not tomorrow at the other subcommittee meeting.